Good morning, counsel. I will now call the second case on our argument calendar. That case is number A23-1080, Shira Mattingly versus Kathleen Plash. Counsel, I know are familiar with our usual procedures, which are approximately the same, even when we're on Zoom. You each will have 15 minutes for your argument, and appellant's counsel will have an opportunity for rebuttal argument. Please keep your camera on at all times, and please mute your microphone when you are not making argument. Counsel for appellant, you may introduce yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
Michael Bryant, representing the trustee for the next of kin, Miriam Espinoza. Also on the video is Tucker Isaacson from my office, just watching. Good morning. This case arises from a tragic death where three individuals were killed back in 2019. In one of the vehicles was Ms. Espinoza. And the car was being driven by was being driven by do I not have the name in front of me?
Mr. Plash?
Mr. Plash, yeah, sorry, I couldn't find it on my piece of paper. Mr. Plash. The case was brought against the individual who caught one of the people who caused it, which was the motorcycle, and then the second claim was made against Mr. Plash on behalf of Miss Mattingly, who lived with him but was not married to him. And the only potential claim was this liability claim against him. The question is, who can be served on the behalf of Mr. Plash since he was dead and he can't be served himself? It is our position that the trustee who was appointed for Mr. Plash, who just happened to be his, I believe, former wife, is the trustee in the matter. And as trustee, she has the power to accept service, and that service upon her was good, and the case should have continued at that point. The distinction came down to whether or not there's a difference between a trustee and a personal representative. In the lower court, the respondents relied upon and the court accepted arguments about cases that didn't involve trustees and personal representatives. They're simply cases about personal representatives. There's no other person that could have been served in those cases. There's no alternative choice in those cases. And that's why it's our position that those cases don't apply, because they're not what is before us right now. The question is can the trustee be served in the capacity that they serve? And it's our position, the Supreme Court has looked at this and the Court of Appeals have looked at this involving other matters. But in doing that, they've come to the conclusion that a trustee and a personal representative is basically the same. They have the same duties, they have the same powers. And then based upon those same powers, based upon those same abilities, they have the ability to be served. And in this case, they were served. And since they were served, the case should have gone on. And it's, to us, not any more complicated than that when you look at the case law.
Mr. Bryant, isn't there case law saying that a wrongful death case must be brought against the personal representative of the deceased? And I think even some case law says only personal representative of the deceased.
Well, when you look at the cases that are cited, because there's the two cases that are out there, the Van Sluten and the Ortiz case, they don't involve a question of is there someone who can be served other than a personal representative. They're just simply cases where the only thing exists or what should have existed is a personal representative. So if you don't have a trustee, then the only way to do it under the statute, I'd agree, is the personal representative. Here we have a trustee that's already been appointed. She'd been appointed back right after this death took place. And our position is that's the difference in those cases. And when the court has looked at the issue of trustee and personal representative, they've said they're basically the same. And when you look at their duties, they're basically the same. When you look at their oaths, they're basically the same. And based upon that, the trustee has the ability to accept service, and the case should have continued on under that service.
A trustee, I mean, am I think we all agree that Ms. Plash was appointed trustee pursuant to section 573.02, subdivision 3.
Correct.
And that That statute says that the court shall appoint a suitable and competent person as trustee to commence or continue such action and obtain recovery of damages therein. I mean, doesn't that statute and the case law interpreting it indicate that the trustee may essentially may be a plaintiff, but not a defendant?
I don't think I think when you look at the complete definition of what a trustee is, I mean, they have the right to defend. There can be counterclaims against them. I don't believe that that in and of itself limits what a trustee does. A trustee is the representative for the person who died. It represents the estate in a way that they're able to sign authorizations on behalf of the deceased person. They're able to do all the powers that the deceased person could have done under the case, and it all derives from the exact same case. So no, I wouldn't agree that it's that limiting.
Let me go back to your answer. I think you said the trustee represents the estate. Isn't it again both in the statute and the case law, provided that the trustee represents the surviving spouse and next of kin, but not the estate as a as an entity?
No, I think it's allowed powers to represent for service, because it's allowed to serve itself and it's allowed to accept service back of the answer. So no, I don't think it's as limited as that. I mean, that's the difference in the Supreme Court case. That's the difference between the individual cases that they looked at in the Civil Damages Act, where people had to bring it individually. That's a difference, a distinction that is different. But when the court looked at the issue, they concluded that a personal representative was the same as a trustee. That's what they did back in the cases when they looked at the retainer on the what they bound everybody was bound for or bound by, and that's what they looked at when they looked at the Van Sluizen case.
The Hansen case that you're referring to had to do with the retainer, and that did not involve service of process, correct?
Correct. That involved the power Hansen. Correct. That involved the situation of the retainer. Correct. But that they the whether or not they could bind in order to recover the attorney's fees, whether they could be recovered, that was the question of binding there, and the court found that yes, they bound. It was bound.
Counsel, in your brief, you argue that 573.01 is ambiguous because the term personal representative is not defined. But you don't cite any case law to support that. So, and I, you know, there's a variety of Supreme Court cases where a term isn't defined in statute and the court looks to a dictionary definition to understand its plain and ordinary meaning, or as a source of its plain and ordinary meaning. Why wouldn't so? In other words, I think there are a number of cases where there are undefined terms, but the Supreme Court has concluded that the statute isn't necessarily ambiguous simply because the terms aren't defined in the statute.
Yeah, overall I would agree with that, but we have cases where the Supreme Court has looked at this issue, and when they've looked at this issue, they've come to the conclusion that they're equivalently the same. And we provide other definitions in other parts of the statute or other statutes in order to support our position that there are definitions out there that can be used by the court that make sense. I think when you go to the ordinary definition under the dictionaries, because there isn't anything, there's no court that's looked at it. There's not been this kind of analysis that we provide in overall here.
In this case, well, in your brief, I don't see an argument, and maybe I missed it, but you don't appear to be arguing that it would have been impossible to bring this claim against a personal representative. I think you're simply arguing that the trustee should be considered the equivalent of a personal representative.
That is correct, Your Honor.
But isn't that, you know, adding language to the statute that isn't there?
Adding languages that it would have to be impossible? No, because if
Well, in other words, equating a trustee with a personal representative. I mean, the legislature could have said in 573.01 that all causes of action against one another or against another survive to the personal representative or trustee instead of just personal representatives.
Could the legislature have done that? Sure, I don't think they needed to do that. And when the courts interpreted it, they've made it equivalent. That's the basis of the Supreme Court argument that we make in the Supreme Court case.
Okay.
That
And what case do you think is most on point in terms of supporting your position?
the Beck case.
The Beck case. Okay. Thank you.
Doesn't look like I have any other questions, so
It
thank you.
appears there are no further questions. Do you wish? Yes, well, you will have an opportunity for rebuttal, Mr. Bryant.
Thank you.
Count. Thank you. Counsel for respondent, you may introduce yourself and your client and then begin your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Matt Barber here with my colleague Hannah Milkey, who's observing from our office on behalf of the respondent, Kathleen Plash. Your Honors, the case law interpreting the applicable statutes are clear that a cause of action exists against somebody. It does not exist in the abstract. And when that somebody is someone who is deceased, the case law and the statutes are clear and unambiguous that that action must be commenced against the personal representative of the estate of the deceased person. The appellant relies on the Beck versus Groh case. In that case, it says who brings the action and in what capacity they bring the action. That was a wrongful death dram shop action under the Civil Damages Act. And under the Civil Damages Act, that action must be brought in a personal capacity. So even though the plaintiff in Beck versus Groh was the surviving spouse of the decedent and had been appointed trustee, the question was whether he needed to bring it in his individual capacity as well. The Beck and Hansen cases are about who brings the action, and that is the trustee, the duly appointed trustee. And they do it. The case law says, acting as personal representative of the next of kin, they bring the case on behalf of the next of kin. There's no case law or statute that I'm aware of that says the trustee can be the defender of a case against the estate and has the authority to be served against a claim against the estate. The other
Mr.
statute.
Barber, in the re regarding Beck, I believe that appellant is focused on language on page. I'm looking at the page number of the opinion near headnote 8. I think it's page 892 of the Northwest Reporter, where the court says in the action by the trustee as the personal representative under section 573.02. Dot dot dot. Why do you have any thoughts as to why the Supreme Court phrased it that way in 1955, and or do you have any suggestions about what we should make of that in 2024?
I don't know why the Minnesota Supreme Court said as the first representative under 573.02, but I think what the Supreme Court was getting at was the personal representative, or the, sorry, the trustee acts as the personal representative for all of the next of kin under 573.02, because 573.02 talks about what the trustee does. They act for all of the next of kin. So they may have used that term personal rep to describe what the trustee does on behalf of all of the next of kin. That's my best guess as to what the Minnesota Supreme Court meant there. But again, Beck versus Groh says nothing about who is the statutorily mandated defendant. Addressing the ambiguity argument, I don't know of any case law that says a term is ambiguous just because it doesn't have a special definition. I believe it's the wine coupe case, and we didn't cite this, but I think that case says that once the Minnesota Supreme Court has interpreted a statute, its interpretation becomes as much a part of the statute as its language. And the case law, including Wood versus Martin and Van Sluten, is clear that the action must be commenced against the duly appointed personal representative of the estate. The other
Counsel, would it have been possible in this case to bring a claim, to bring the claim that they're seeking to bring, or that plaintiff was seeking to bring, where there wasn't It doesn't appear from the record before us anyway that there was a personal representative appointed. And also, I think Mr. Plash lived in Wisconsin, if my memory serves. So I'm wondering logistically, you know, is this focus on personal representative, does that create a bar to bringing the claim that they're seeking to bring here?
It does not, Your Honor. The Wood versus Martin case that Van Sluten builds on and that we've cited says on page 726 that a process could have been served before the statute of limitations run. And if a personal representative did not exist, the plaintiff could have caused one to be appointed. So since at least 1983, the Minnesota Supreme Court's recognized that.
Of a Wisconsin resident in a Minnesota district court, because the accident occurred here?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. I think that's because the accident occurred here.
I'm sorry, maybe I missed the question.
I misunderstood too.
Could you repeat the question, please, Chief Judge Siegel?
Oh, I was just clear. So it seems that your position is that the proper procedure to have been followed is to go into a Minnesota court with a request for a personal representative to be appointed.
That's
so
correct,
that
Your
a suit can then be brought?
That's correct.
Why a Minnesota court instead of a
yeah.
instead of a Wisconsin court if that was his place of residence?
Oh, sorry about that, Your Honor.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have jurisdiction over the estate. I mean,
that makes sense. Sorry about that, Your Honor. I missed that point. Sorry about that. But yes, someone could have been appointed in Wisconsin and then served with the summons and complaint before the statute of limitations had run. That's my point. It's not impossible to have the proper defendant created and then served within the statute of limitations. Sorry about that, Your Honor. I missed that about the Wisconsin versus Minnesota part. Unless the court has any other questions, we would just ask that the district court be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barber. Mr. Bryant, you have an opportunity for 5 minutes of rebuttal.
Yeah, I don't know that much was added there to address specifically. I was looking at my brief and going back to the question I think Judge Cochran asked me, we do provide what we believe is the definition of the trustee, which makes it under the Supreme Court ruling a personal representative and the equivalent of the same under the plain language from the reading of that case. And when you look at the definition, and that's our position, that we're fine as far as service goes, because we took care of what needed to be done as far as service goes. So I think our brief covers that issue and covers that in a way that's supported not only by the definition itself, but by the definition of the under what the Supreme Court has done in looking at this distinction.
Mr. Bryant, is there any reason why you or attorney for Ms. Madeline could not have prompted the appointment of a personal representative for the estate of Mr. Plash, either in Minnesota or Wisconsin?
I don't think we needed to is our position, because we had a trustee that we could serve and that worked. But overall, just technically with that question, no. But I don't think this answers this issue. I mean, if you look at the case they cite, the Van Sluten case, the plaintiff in that case just went out and just tried to serve a husband for a deceased wife, not somebody who was appointed a trustee. We have an actual trustee, and that's who we served. And our position is we didn't need to because we had somebody to serve.
So is there, or what definition of trustee would you point us to as being, you know, what we should be looking at to answer the questions you've raised in your appeal?
Well, I think in the broader sense, it was the way the Supreme Court looked at it under Back, and the way it's been read into the statute. If it's read that way, that they're equivalent, they should always be equivalent. And in this particular case, it should definitely be equivalent because they had the power to accept service and we served them.
So none of the statutory and the other, like the trust act or
I apologize,
you'd
Judge.
point to? Yeah.
Excuse me?
That you wouldn't point to any definition in statutes, albeit not in 573, in other statutes in the trust.
Well,
the statutes related to trust.
I was addressed. There is no definition exactly in the statute. And I was addressing Judge Cochran's question earlier. If you look at a general dictionary definition, and when you if you look at those definitions, as we argue in our brief, they support our position that they are the same or equivalently the same, and thus service can be provided. A trustee is a personal representative, and that's the role that they serve, and that's been supported by the Supreme Court under the Beck case. And if it's been found that way under the statute and it all flows together, it should be found in this case and service should be proper. And cases that have nothing to do with the simple question of of the appointment of a representative don't apply, that those two cases don't have trustee. They don't have other people you can serve that make sense or that would be allowable under the law.
So in the probate code, I'm sorry, they aren't used interchangeably there, are they, trustee well, and personal representative?
For whatever reason, the probate court tends to, I think, always use just one. They don't go back and forth, because our position is they are equivalent. I mean, there's a broader issue of, you know, a trustee is actually somebody who puts up a bond and all these other things that don't really take place under the law. But when it's all said and done, they're the same under the Supreme Court ruling. No other questions?
It appears there are no further questions.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Thank you to both attorneys for your arguments. The case is submitted, and the court will issue its opinion in writing within 90 days.